Father in heaven, we come to you again, Lord. Thank thee for the song service, and we ask thee now to bless us as we open the precious word of God. Thank you so much for the Spirit of God that lives within us, who are saved, to help us understand what we need to understand to program our life in such a way as we go about our daily tasks to give you first place in everything we do. We thank you today for these that are here. May it be a time of blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you will, be seated and take your Bible and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A beautiful portion of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, as I read from down about verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, and then I'll give you the topic of the message. Paul said this, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again." So evidently, there was something that Paul had a need. They knew about that, and they came to supply that particular need. Then he said, "Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." That is, it sounded like Paul said, "I know you thought about me all the time, and sometimes maybe they had the need, they lacked the opportunity, maybe they didn't know about it, whatever, lacked the opportunity, because if they had the opportunity, they would have done it for him, because they had flourished at this time to do, and the need that he met." But sometimes when you get talking about thanking someone for needs, you think he's trying to prime them up to get another need or give something else. And the next verse tells us that's not Paul's idea. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." Watch that phrase. "I have learned." Say it with me. "I have learned." Paul said he learned something. It didn't come because he had the frail body. It didn't come because he was born with the nature of Adam. This is something after he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he had to learn himself. And it's something that we all need in this particular day. I guarantee you that. And he says, now, look, he said, "I have learned in whatsoever state am I therewith to be content." I reckon everybody's here and is content and hadn't learned anything since you're content. Might as well close up and go home, haven't we? I guarantee you that there's discontent in all of us. Paul said, "I've learned something, though, about life. To be content in whatsoever state he was in. In turn, knowing that God would be, he would be blessed." And what did he learn? Well, he learned this. Content means to be independent of external circumstances. That is, where you're at with the peace of God, the external circumstances do not operate to separate that peace or separate that direction or separate you from doing what God wants you to do. When you're content before God, you must be seeking God first. Because that's the only way you can have contentment. God will not take second place. You know that, ladies and gentlemen? God will not take second place. Amen. He deserved first. He even said the child of the womb is first in the Old Testament. The first of the flock was his. The first of the fruit was his. Everything was his. And then notice Paul said, "But I've learned something. I know how to obey." That means he knew how to be cut down. He said, "I know how to abound." That means he knew what it was to have plenty. "Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." My title years ago when I got saved, verse along with 19 that I've used on through the years. Because you don't come and start out things and try to do something for the Lord when you don't have no one else to strengthen you but God. You'll learn that God can and will strengthen you to do what he calls us to do. And then he says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." That is, in verse 13, he said to us, in Christ, the Holy Spirit helps the Christian break the powers of the past. And by the way, you and I have a lot to break when we got saved, to alleviate from the past. He helps us break the powers of the past. He helps us live in the present for God, preparing for the future that God may use us for his glory. And so we must break the shackles of the past when we get saved, that we might live in the present for the Lord, and in so doing, break things and have things in the future that we might learn about God which doesn't hinder us. Now, I'd like to speak to you a few minutes, and I hope it'll be a blessing today. May God help us to understand Bible contentment. Because I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, there have been many times in my life I'd like to have just plain contentment, just plain peace in the sense that God said he has a peace offers, and his peace should give us understanding in situations in life. But contentment, may God help us all today learn what we need to learn and understand about Bible contentment. I read a story, it's a true story. There was a pilot. He was flying from Tennessee over, took off one day, and was flying to his destiny, and he came over a lake. And he said to his co-pilot, he said, "You know, I Many years ago, I used to be down on that lake in a rowboat, rowing, fishing. And the plane come over and I look up and say, you know, one of these days, I'm going to be a pilot in that plane. And he just flew a little ways, and the co-pilot was waiting to say something else. And he didn't say anything. He said, what's the motto of that? He said, the motto today of that for me is this: I'm in this plane right now wishing I was down that boat fishing again. Well, that's exactly the way things go in life, isn't it? As a matter of fact, if you think with me this morning, we're living in a changing world. It's changed more in the last 58 years that I've been serving the Lord than the time I can imagine. I try to read history sometimes and don't see it change as much as we've seen it change in our life and what we can do and what we should not be doing. But anyhow, we're living in a changing world. Things that were valuable, that we once sought after, are no longer important to us as they were in one time. If you, any age on you at all, you know things you look at now are not the things that you had value years ago, is not as much value now as what you are have value right now. Time has a way of changing values. One thing is for sure, though, ladies and gentlemen, we must never let time change us our value about God. Must not do that. We must understand growth requires requirement, and requirement gives us understanding that God gives requirements to us in this life. So people are growing more and more discontent every day. Employers are discontent with their jobs. Employees are. Employers also many times are discontent with some employees. Husband and wives are discontent with each other. Families are discontented because of parents are discontented. And many times children bring things that they're discontent with children. And children are certainly discontent with their parents. This is true in the business of the world. It's true in politics. It's true in sports. It's sad to say, it's also true among Christians. We find ourselves discontent. You say, not me, preacher. I bet you, let's see where you're at today. God, there's something this past week that in turn brought you contention rather than contentment. Contentment is entirely different. We all live in a world fast lane. If not, please write a book and show us how to get out of it. Because anybody does anything now in our day is in a fast lane. And sometimes we have to remove ourselves from the fast lane off the off-ramp somewhere or another, so we can get along with God and find out what he wants us to do in this life. A wealthy employee heard an employer heard his employee one day say, you know, if I had $1,000, I'd have perfect contentment. And the employer heard him say that. And he said, wait a minute, come here. Did you just say if you had $1,000, you'd have perfect contentment? He said, yes, sir, I sure would. He said, I have never in my life seen anybody with perfect contentment. He said, if I had $1,000, I'd have perfect contentment. He said, all right. He pulled out a checkbook and wrote him out $1,000 and handed it to him. He said, now have you had perfect contentment? He said, I sure do. And he turned around and started to walk off. And as the guy walked off, he heard him say, I should have asked him for $2,000. And the employer said, what did you say? Oh, he said, I just made a remark. I should have asked for $2,000. He said, give my check back. You don't have perfect contentment. If you had, you wouldn't ask for $2,000. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this tells us Paul had perfect contentment. He said, I've learned to be content. He didn't have it. He didn't get it because of the nature. The old nature didn't give him that. It's something when he got saved on the road to Damascus that God gave him something in Christ that he learned what it was to have contentment as he served God, because God was always honorable. Happiness and contentment do not come from stuff. They come from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Contentment is not the state of your account. Contentment is the state of your heart. That's all there is to it. You can have a thing in this world and not be content. But you can have Jesus, and I guarantee you, there's times in your life you'll let him, you'd be more content than anybody in this world. Because you realize if you have everything this world has to offer, come the day you're going to draw your last breath, and all of that will be gone. And when it does, we'll stand in the presence of Almighty God. And I see, did you know that you can have joy and contentment in the midst of this troubled world? How do I know that? James said in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Paul had contentment. How do I know? He said so. He had contentment with nothing to be happy about but Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians again and read chapter 11 and 12 and see what Apostle Paul went through. None of us ever faced anything like that. And yet he's telling here at the church of Philippi, he had learned to have contentment. Why? Whatever he went through, he had the word of God in his heart. He had Jesus in his heart. And he knew whatever he went through and what he faced, that God had something better, because God's promises are there. whether it's in prison, beaten by the cat of nine tails, or getting to, just to the last minute having his head chopped off on the block. Why? Because he would, had killed someone, or because he stole something? No. Before he got saved, he was killing Christians. But now, since he'd been saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he's been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many hundreds and even thousands of people were saved. And because of that, Satan rose up a group against him in such a way that what he was doing is exactly what God set for him to do, and yet God allowed him to go through, have his head taken off. But I'll tell you, the day you ask Paul, you heard saved, we'd get to heaven, ask Paul, was it worth it? You know what he's going to say? Yes. After this life, you're going to find anything we suffer in this life for the cause of Christ will be worth it because of who he is. And so Paul was chained between two Roman guards. He was actually under a house arrest. He was a controversial figure wherever he went. Some believers were against him. And as you think about it, in spite of his difficult circumstances in life, ladies and gentlemen, he still could write what he said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, that I speak not in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state he was in to be content. Paul was not an I retired. When he wrote this, he wasn't here in some big swank motel or hotel. He wasn't in some palace when he wrote this in the sense of a king. Paul himself was speaking from the school of life. He was speaking from the hard knocks of life. Paul had experienced pain and pleasure. He had experienced high and lows in his life. He was a hero to some, but to a lot, he was a villain. And not because of who he was before he was saved, but after he was saved on the road to Damascus. He could say, I have found contentment, or I have learned contentment in my life. Why? Because he knew that God's word was true. And whatever he faced, the end results are going to always be much better. And so when I look through this, I understand four quick things, if I can get to you, about contentment. First of all, the Bible teaches to be content, we must understand covenant first. If you look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, you find that the Hebrews said, let your conversation, or let your way of life, he says, or way of conduct, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That comes together. He said, God gives us a promise that when we may not have some things we'd like to have, that we have him, and after all, everything we gain, he said, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what profit is it? So if you have Christ and nothing else, you have most best thing in this world to have. But God teaches us if we're where we ought to be and we have Christ, then those things that God will bless us with will not become a curse, but actually become a blessing to us. Exodus chapter 20, covetousness, he was putting away, putting something above God, like people and property and so forth. And in Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, Paul said, I have not known lust except the law say thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is a strong desire for something that belongs to somebody else. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, is given because men covet something and would go and steal something that was not his or hers. To covenant will cause one to resent God because you can't get sometimes what you think you're going to get, and in turn, God's the first one Satan tries to attack and blame. They feel that God has provided something for someone else that you don't have. And we see then in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said this, and it'd be good to read some of these verses from time to time. He said, take heed and beware covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Paul said, do not keep company also with persons who do these things. It's in 1 Corinthians, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the apostle Paul said this, but now I have written, he said unto you, not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner, with such one know not to eat, he says. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Paul said, we have the power to judge ourselves. And we have, in taking communion, he tells us for we to judge ourselves. We have no power to judge anyone outside. He said, that comes from me, because you can't see everything. He said, you try to judge and you'll be partial. When I judge, it'll be right. I see everything. And he goes on and he says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? I mean, you judge yourself. But he said, not out. There's no authority that we have to judge someone that's without. And he goes on, he said, but them that are without God judgeth, therefore put away from among yourself that wicked person. And so Paul is simply telling us that when it comes to keeping company with some people, it'd be better off. That's the reason, young folks, when your parent says to you, but there's a person, I don't think you want to be right here with this person or do this particular thing. It's not that they hate or love or hate or despise you. It's that they know some things you don't know. And sometimes to be in the right place is what we should be, not in the wrong place. Many good children, good kids, have got in trouble at times because they were with someone at the wrong place, didn't know that something wrong was going to be done. And so that's what he's telling us about every one of us who are saved in the family of God. So yet to just desire something that is right is not covetous, no. Because you're going to have some desires in life. You wouldn't be married now if you didn't have a desire. Yeah, a desire that you fell in love with someone, a desire of love that you fell in love with someone. At least you thought you did. And in that situation, that's where desire comes in for attractiveness and so forth. And when you look at the desire, it's something in turn that the Bible tells us about. Psalm 37, the psalmist said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor with the Lord. Thank God. God said that. Amen? Amen? I thank God. There's no way in the world my wife would have been with me all these years. She hadn't loved God and loved me. No doubt about that. You don't go through a pastor. Hey, you'd have the slightest idea what a pastor has to go through when he pastors people. And the thing about it is, God gives us that ability to do so when the Word of God's hidden in our heart. And thank God he gives you a love for people that you try to help, and I'm trying to help this morning with contentment. David said to not compare yourself with other people in Psalms 37, verse 1 and, and through 7. Now, I love this because I've read this many times, and I keep reading it because it's a great help. When you look in Psalms 37, notice what David said. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Sometimes I think through the years of what happened, and I don't say this for I'm just a born-again child of God trying to serve God. But I tell you, I know what it is to lose everything to come serve God. We lost our home, we lost our car, we lost my income, lost everything when we came here, and God's blessed back. And I don't take any second seat for the blessings of God today for someone who may criticize it, because God's blessed us because of sacrifice 50 years ago. Amen. In my heart, no doubt about that. Down through the years, he gave me a mind for finances and worked out and worked through things. And I'm so grateful. And I think about even now, it reminds me, we have a visitation witness in here. And I think sometimes when we come, had a good day yesterday. Thank God for those we talked about a new method we want to try now, because we believe the Lord gave that to us and we're going to work it out in the near future. We'll hear more about that. But I remember years ago when I get alone and go out and start witnessing. I remember years ago, we started out, it was 6 months, she and my wife, and I was the only one witness out here in Main Street by ourselves. Man, if we'd give up then, this wouldn't happen. You know what? God tests us. He sees what we will do. And thank God for that when we find ourselves yielding to him. So David said not to compare ourselves with anyone else. Now, to be content, you must understand then that covetousness is the desire for something that belongs to somebody else, and that can take away contentment. Some things, all similar to contentment is not. Contentment is not complacent. It carries the idea of no longer caring about what happens in life or give up on life. Here, one is satisfied with self only. Contentment is also not the natural attribute of man. Contentment is something that we must learn. That's what Paul said. So if I must learn it, then I must allow God to give me the situations in life that I might learn what he says. Learns comes through experience and also things that we face in life. And so God is there to help us. We learn by practice, and we know by experience. It is not having everything that we think we might enjoy, because if you look in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said this, and boy, did he hit it right on the nose when he talked about, look in chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. I'm amazed when I read this back a few weeks ago and getting up this message. Solomon said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. What? Isn't that the thing we go? Silver is the thing we work for. Gold, silver, that's what he's talking about, precious metal. And he said, if that's what's in one's heart to go for, you'll never be satisfied for that. He also said, nor he that loveth abundant will increase this also in vanity. He said, it doesn't make sense for a person's life to be lived for nothing, but here you're going to leave behind and go, and not realize laying up treasures in heaven if one is saved. He said, when goods increase, there are increased that eat them. And what good is there in the owners thereof, save in beholding them with their eyes? Or that goes back to what he said, the three gates, lust of eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Of the three gates that Satan comes through us. And Solomon is saying here that this is the lust of the eyes is that which in turn gets us in a direction if we do not have the Lord in the right proper place of our lives. And so he goes on and talks about we learn by practice and we learn by experience. Foolish people think that as long as they have a job to provide money for them, and we all need a job, and the Bible tells us we need to be workers, not be lazy. But in time, if that's what we think we all need, they could buy anything that they want. This would bring them contentment. We will not. There's not a one in here. Just if I look at you, all of you look like you've been blessed. You've got things you never thought you'd have. You've got things that you just have, you didn't need, you just got. Amen, you just got it. But I'll tell you what, they don't bring contentment. I'm old enough now to know if I buy something I want and I feel like it's going to bring contentment, let me have it. And when I drive it down the road or when I walk across or whatever I do, I use it somewhere or another, see someone have one, then all of a sudden my contentment is gone. Is yours? If not, then I tell you what, if you got something already, don't never buy anything like that again. See, we all are in that thing. We all are in that place. And God's letting us know that is an error. Discontentment is an error that Satan uses with things in the world. And by our age, we have an age of wealth that man's never seen before. Always been too few wealthy people, but not like there is today. Our nation is blessed, ladies and gentlemen. There are some people on the foreign field thinks that everyone in here would be millionaires. Some people who work for 10 cents, 20 cents a day, or sometimes $4 or $5 a month. And then you look at what God has blessed us. We got something we ought to be giving him everything we have just about because of what has happened in our lives and so forth. Someone asked John D. Rockefeller years ago, how much money does it take to make a man happy? And he thought a few minutes, he said, just a little bit more. And he had most money that day probably anybody had just about. Again, in Psalm 62, verse 10, David said, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Your heart should be really upon God. I read where there was a graveyard marker for a husband and a wife that read this. They had both died, and one beside the other, and had the wife's grave marker. It said this, she died for wanting things in this life. And then his had this, and it said he died trying to give them to her. I heard this, and it makes a good sense, I think, that two teardrops were flying, going down a river. And one teardrop, side by side, and one teardrop said, I came from a girl who loved a man very much, but he left her for another woman. The other teardrop said, well, you tell her, I came from the girl that got him. There's no contentment, ladies and gentlemen. People are people no matter where they're at in this particular life. We need something to change us. And Paul met that someone on the road to Damascus. We have some things that contentment is not. Well, what is contentment then? Contentment is the inner sense of rest and peace that comes from being right with God, knowing that he is in control. And in spite of what this world may tell us, ladies and gentlemen, God is in control. He has a permissive will, but there's nothing he can't change anytime he wants to change it. And I hear people talking about now, God's not in control. He's not in control of you know, murder and, you know, the things that we... Listen, let me tell you something. Satan can't do one thing without God allowing it. And I don't know why he's allowing it, but he's allowing it because there's a battle going on in the unseen world you and I don't see between God and Satan. That he's proven that he'll have some people on this earth will serve God in spite of what Satan will do, just like he tried to do to Job. And when the end result comes out, you're going to find out the battle will see. We didn't even know what was going on, and yet we stood the test. Praise his holy name. And God will reward us for that one day in the future as we go through this life. It is content within, not from without. Colossians 2, verse 3, verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. It is contentment of having few wants. Philippians 9, 4, verse 19 said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then number three, some instructions about contentment. Paul, chapter 4, verse 10. Paul rejoiced that in the Lord, in the way that the church had been taking care of him. He said, You blessed me by taking care of his need, and then there were times that you didn't have opportunity to, but you would have. And I want to thank you for that. And he wanted them to know he wasn't thanking them for that to get them to give him something. He said, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in to be content. Wouldn't it be a blessing we could all learn that? By the way, we must can, because Paul did. Paul did. And it's simply this. Where one's at, they see God enough to know that he is their father. And this life is not our home. And he's given us what we need to get us through here. And if he stays where he ought to be, we have always his shining love and light upon us in this life. And so again, in Jesus Christ is able to make us content regardless of our circumstances. We can learn to rest in the Lord. He's given us that ability. In verse 13, Jesus Christ is able to make us content regardless of our circumstances. We can learn to rest in the Lord. I can do all things, he said, in Christ which strengthens me, or through Christ which strengthens me. Paul instructs us to be content in all things with Christ as the center. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've had in the last few months a limbo of people asking, how can you know the will of God? I just wished I knew the will of God. And you start saying things, and all of a sudden they said, but I don't understand the will of God. And I'm looking at it now, and it amazes me while I was getting this message up. I saw this. Paul said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. One thing is the will of God for anybody, his children. In everything, give thanks. What? God, are you sure? In everything? That's what he said. Why? This is not your home, son. You're passing through here. When you get toward you, I've got prepared for you. That Jesus talked about it. And what, in Luke 14? That's a marvelous place. You can't compare that with here. Just keep in mind, your worst time is here in this life. When you have your best time, it won't even be compared to what you're going to. I'm preparing for you. Isn't that wonderful? This world laughs and mocks us, and we just keep chucking along, thanking God for what he's doing to do for us. So again, do not be content, or do not ever be content. Though as I think about contentment, and close with this thought real fast, like, you know, there's such thing. We have some things that we need to be content, learn how to not, that what contentment is not. We also know that covetousness can be something that causes us to be discontent. Some instruction we have about that. But there are some things that we need to look at that we should not ever be discontent with, because God will help us. Do not ever be content of what you have done for the Lord. In other words, there are some things we should not get never content about. I'll get it right in a minute. That's right. What we do for God, we must never be content. If we do, we won't do anymore. That's right. Without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never know true contentment. Only God's Word has the answer for the sin of discontentment, confession, repentance, and forgiveness. We all either in the state of contentment or contention. We're not in both. We're in one or the other at the time. Contentment is the state of and quality of satisfaction. Contention is the act of strife and struggle and dispute and quarreling and conflict. There's the inside and opposite. Satan is the cause of contention. Jesus is the author of contentment. And he tells us we can have that in this life. We are in one or the other of these two in life all the time. When one is not content, there's going to be problems. We do not need to understand the why and every command that God gives us, but we need to trust and obey him while living in a body of death that has faithless impulses at times. And Romans chapter 7 shows us that. If you go read chapter 7, we won't have time today, 23, 24, 25, along there, what Paul said, even as a saved man, O wretched man that I am, you know, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So trusting God is the only thing that can give us great relief in life, folks. How many times I've seen somebody would burn so high and suddenly they just stop and just go to the Lord in prayer. Didn't care who was looking. And I had one impression in my heart one time. I'd tell you about a businessman, a pretty wealthy businessman I met in Smithfield one day. And I had to talk to him, and I went to see him And all of men, and I've said it a number of times, said again here at the times that I'd seen him, he'd always been available. But this day, when I started in his office, he had his head in his hands like this. And I backed off from it. And I just stood outside. And I think to myself, he must be praying. And when I looked and watched and he finished, I walked in and I said, Brother, I've got to see, talk to him. He would talk to him about something. And he said, Brother Ennis, he said, I don't care what you're involved. Sometimes you have to just stop and go to God in prayer. Amen. You have to do it. If you ever get to a place that everything seems just can't get together, it doesn't matter if it's many times during the day. You will face problems you can't handle yourself, and you just have to stop and go to God in prayer and know that He'll give you that peace that gives us understanding in our lives. Thank God Almighty. We do not understand sometimes. Only someone stronger than you is greater than our weakness. And we have someone in us. Greater is He that's in us than in the world we are saved. Someone bigger than your worst failures. You got to have someone brighter than your deepest darkness. You got to have someone to address the things that you fear or regret. And I want to tell you who that person is. It's God. But you can't get to God without Jesus Christ. And that's the reason we need to exalt Him. That's the reason we need to tell people about Him. That's the reason God woke me up the other day and gave me this thought about this day. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, we must not stop telling the world that hates Him and don't even know it because they have so many gods and say, through it, I just don't care about this, and yet give the gospel out, and He's promised to bless that in this life. Thank God that God makes provisions for us to get rid of our fears and anxieties in this life. And learn to have contentment in life, just like Paul said he had. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that not as the last care of me have thou have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful that you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everybody likes the abounding part, but don't like the abased part. He said, for all things I am instructed to be. He said, full and be hungry, both to abound and suffer. He said, in life, it's this way here. It's not a home. There's things that God will bless, and I'll be full. But then there's coming a famine day that I'll need. And here I am, bouncing back and forth in this life, trying to cut a course that God would be pleased. And God is my helper. He said, if nothing else, keep in mind, as you're bouncing back and forth, God help me, if you're bouncing back and forth, keep in mind, He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But you're going to have the birth for that. So contentment is the state of equality and satisfaction. Contention is the act of strife and struggle and dispute and conflict. So when you find yourself looking at life, look at it. Is it contention or if it's contentment? If it's contentment, thank God and find scripture that you can hide in your heart and know that God can speak to you. If it's contention, ask God to find an avenue to get off of that, because you cannot be content. If you have contention, folks, it's strife, and it brings a lot of troubles to our hearts and lives. So may God help us understand Bible contentment. And I close with this thought. We who are saved have the advantage because we can learn what Paul learned. It's not boasting. If we got our just due, we'd go to hell. But the fact has been a day that we not only heard the gospel, not only we believe the record about God's Son, but we actually read where Jesus said to men, receive Him, to them gave Him power. It became not head knowledge, but we reached out by faith and asked Christ to come into our heart. And now He says in this life, be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. There's troubles in the world. Jesus said, well, here, you're going to face it all your life, but be of good cheer. Listen to me. I have overcome the world. So when there's contention, I can find myself asking God, please give me contentment. And Paul said, listen, you can learn contentment. You can learn it. Why? Because only God can give it. And when you find yourself contented like you should be, you're going to be walking with Him, feeling the pressure that's there. If it's not, then there's somewhere or another that we deviate a little bit, and now contention comes and just overwhelms us. And God says, that's not the way you need to be. I want you to know I'm your outlet. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. The only way that I can find that is through this book. And the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Therefore, contention will cause me to do things I will not do otherwise. We're not talking to the unsaved. We're talking to the child of God now. But if a person not saved, Let me tell you how much God loves you, not only here, but radio, also Ustream. He loved you so much, and I mean this when I close, if you'd been the only person in this earth that had been created since Adam's day, Jesus would still come and died for you. That's how important each individual person is. We don't come collectively, though we might get saved individually collectively. Aren't you glad? 7 billion people on the face of the earth this morning, that every individual person, 7 billion people, if would trust Christ as Savior today, he would deal with each one of them individually, not collectively. They may come collectively, but he will deal individually. From around here, it may be a group. We've had, 100 people come up here and get saved. We see a group. But God would deal individually. And by the way, if they do it here, we're going to deal individually with them. Because we believe this thing is real. And even time Satan gives a person the chance to understand, or God gives a person the chance to understand some things, Satan is trying his best to sap it away. Catch it. Doubt it. And you need the strength of God's word to help us there. Father in heaven, I thank you again. Bless this, that we might learn what God has said about contentment. We thank you, Lord, for this precious book. Please help us these last days. Lord, we ain't seen nothing yet. I'll soon be off. My age is going to soon take me home. If you don't go to the church, we're going to go individually. But I know this, Lord. This world not seen nothing like it's going to see as we head towards the end of the age. And Father, we're going to have more than religion. We're going to have more than just some words. We're going to have to have the word. And the living word is revealed by the written word I have in my hand right here. And we can have the living, we have the written word in our possession on the coffee table, but we're going to have the living word in our heart through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And know that he says, if we come, he'll not cast us out. Thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Even the resurrection is needed to be believed. And he says, thou shalt be saved through Paul. Help someone to see that. Help them see this world. The only enemy they got, Satan, Lord. It's not another Christian. It's not Jesus Christ. It's not God. God has done so much. He loved this world even yet while we were sinners. Help us understand you're the one we need. And dear Father, help someone today to see as we plead. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Is the one in my voice here or around the world, listen wherever they're listening at, as far as Ustream is concerned. As far as the radio is concerned, in a few moments, we pray that the word of God can do something for them. And we see people in heaven one day because our people saw the need, not only to have it in a little spot here on the west side of Clayton, but Lord, have it so we could reach anywhere if someone can listen with their ears. Heavenly Father, honor yourself today. Holy Spirit, help us exalt Jesus Christ. Help us yield to you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.